Our scripture reading this morning is found in Matthew 24, verses 36, 42, and 44. Verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Verse 42, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And verse 44, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Amen. I want to say good morning to everybody. Good morning. How you doing? How is everybody doing?
Good.
All right, praise the Lord. I have a message. I want to go through it. Pray that I deliver the message as it pleases God, not as it pleases me or anybody else. The title of our message is Not Knowing the Signs of the Second Coming. Not Knowing the Signs of the Second Coming. Before I get into it, let us pray. Heavenly Father, please be with me as you're going to use my lips to talk in your name to the ears of your people. Give us your Holy Spirit that the message can get into our heart and that we would practice. Forgive our sins. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Not knowing the signs of the second coming. Our church exists for a sole purpose and mission: to prepare a people to meet the Lord at his second coming. To do that, the gospel should be taught and preached. For us to prepare for this single great event, we need to know the signs announcing it. Paradoxically, the Lord himself warned, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." This is Matthew 24, verse 36. I don't know about anybody else, but I want the Lord to come quick. I am going nowhere, and I'm not going to grow old before that to happen. I have been waiting for it all my life long. I'm not being impatient. It would be dangerous. But I'm eager to see my Savior. How about you, my brothers and sisters? The signs of the second coming are everywhere. No one can deny that without endangering their lives. Skeptic can, but to the detriment of their relationship with God. We will not even a little bit. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 has provided a list of signs of this coming sufficient to get ready for this event. It would be disastrous for us or anyone else not to know them under whatever pretext. Christ's disciples believed there was just one sign pre-coming. But Jesus told them they should watch for many signs, some happening together. Among these signs are deceptions. I pray that you would open your Bible with me in Matthew 24, and we're going to read together, if possible, to see the signs of the second coming of Christ. And I want to say it is dangerous for Jesus to give us signs for his second coming, and you don't know them. You don't see them even when they take place before your own eyes. And I said earlier this morning in another church I was preaching, when you have a hurricane forecast. The forecasters said there would be a kind of tornado or hurricane in your area, and said to everybody, go to your basement in the little room, hide there. And you said, they playing. Next thing you know, you're dead. Because you do not pay attention to the signs. You do not care about what they say on television, on TV, on radio, or newspaper about the tornadoes or hurricanes. Now, let's read verses 4 and 5 and 11. 4, 5, 11, to see the first signs of the second coming of Christ. Matthew chapter 24. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, talking about the disciples, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. Because people will come under the name of Jesus Christ to preach a message that looks like the true message, but that is just a counterfeit. By accepting a counterfeit message, you're being deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 4, 5. For many, not just a few, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So many will come and shall deceive many. So you will be deceived because you don't know the Bible. You will be deceived because you don't know the signs. That's what I say. That's why I said it is dangerous not to know the signs of the second coming. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Even in our church, do not expect to see false prophets, false Christ just outside of our boundaries as Seventh-day Adventists. They will come from within, not just from without. Wars and rumors of wars, verses 6 and 7. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So when you see wars, when you hear about rumors of wars, do not believe this is the end. Jesus said, it is not the end yet, but these are signs of my second coming. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. So this is a second sign. Third sign, verses 9 and 10, Christian persecution beginning with the death of Christ, Stephen, etc., and there will be also a betrayal of one another. Verses 9 and 10, he said, Jesus is speaking here, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my namesake. It's not just America that will hate Christians. All nations. All nations. Not few, not many nations, all nations. That means wherever you go, some people say, I will go back to my country because America will be a mess. Well, go back to your country. It will be the same thing. Wherever you go, there will be no major differences. Everywhere you go, it's going to be the same thing. And I said, verse 10, and then shall many be offended. What next? And shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. So is God talking about people outside of the church or people inside of the church? Inside of the church, people will betray you, and you don't even know who. It may be your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your sister, your mom, your dad, or a church member. It could even be a pastor of the church betraying you because you don't want to do what the state asks you to do. Complying with the law of God, you will be betrayed. This is a third sign. A fourth one, the final touch in the preaching of the gospel, the loud cry. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then there is a bridge between those two branches, if you want, of the sentence. The first part of the sentence, the message will be preached. The second part of the message, once the message is preached, then Jesus will come. That will be the final one. The final one. And this message is being preached now, even though here we don't do it. And when I say here, please do not understand that I'm talking about here, Elmira. It is not just Elmira. It is not just Corning. It is not just Tioga. It is all over, wherever you go, except for some exceptions. Let me put it that way. All right. Now, the encompassment of Jerusalem, its destruction, and the last part of the great persecution, double application of fulfillment. Verses 15 to 22. It says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. That means, when you see Sunday law enforced, hey, whoso readeth, what you should be doing? Take it. Understand. That's why we need to study our Bible on a daily basis. Do not procrastinate. Do not put it off or put it for another day. It is dangerous. Verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee where? Into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe! Woe unto whom? Unto them that are with child. And to them that gave suck in those days. What does that mean? Woe unto them that are with child. Come on now, talk to me. Say it. Those who are pregnant. So you're talking about young people being pregnant. Oh, no. Young people now who count, who expect to get married before the second coming of Christ, some would not want Jesus to come now. I don't want Jesus to come. I'm not married yet. I don't have any children yet. Let Jesus put off his second coming until I have my children. Well, Jesus said something that is important to them, that should be important to them right now. He said, woe unto them that are with child. Because of what? The persecution will be so bad that you don't want to be with child. And you don't want to have a sucking child baby. Because they will snatch them from you and you will not even be able to bear it. When the Lord said through Nathan to David that your child will die, David would rather die than his child to die. So Sometimes you rather go through certain problems than your child going through it. So imagine 1 second that you have a six weeks old child, and that is snatched from you by somebody because the law is enacted. And you know, when they take them from you like that, they will not play with them. Woe unto those that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. When should we pray, God, that we should not flee when Sunday law is enforced, when persecution comes? We should pray that God would prevent that to happen in winter or on the Sabbath day. And winter, what happens in winter? It's cold. And what next on winter? There's no leaves on the trees to protect you against whatever. So the full blow of the snow or of the cold will hit you. So you better pray. We in New York, we know what snow is all about, or cold is all about. So we should be praying about that. And what's worse in it? That if you already in the mountain, you should not be going back to your house to take your blanket or your coat. And you're going to be cold. Along with that, if you have your child, you cannot cover him up to warm him up. In that day, it will be terrible. All right. Verses 24 to 28. The impersonation of Jesus Christ. 24-28. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophet, and shall show great what? Signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. All right, let me move forward. Verse 29 will say something else, another sign. Immediately after the tribulation of the dark ages of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Those signs, Pastor Emil has talked about them many times, so I don't have to say anything about it. Now, warnings and teaching about what to do of these signs. Verses 32, 33. What to do of these signs. 32, 33. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So when you see the signs, I have read many signs. You read it with your own eyes, many signs. When you see, Jesus said, not part of the signs. He said, when you see all these signs, pestilences, famines, wars, rumors of wars. What next? False Christ, false prophets, persecution. When you see these signs, know that I am near. That means they need to happen in the same time period. When that happens, then he is on his way. social and family conditions before the coming. 37, 39. Social and family conditions before the second coming. Verses 37, 39 says, then shall the righteous answer. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. How was it in the day of Noah? Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were doing what? Eating. What next? Drinking. What next? Marrying. And then what? Giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wow. That means the world will never know the signs of the second coming of Christ. And many church members will never know them. And one good reason, they don't read. You wake up in the morning, you go to work, and then you come back, you eat, you watch TV, you sleep. You wake up in the morning, you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you eat something, you put on some, and you go to work, you come back, the same thing, same routine every day. How would you expect to know the signs of the second coming? How would you expect to know when close of probation is on you? Now, they knew not. And God, Jesus is making a promise. Verses 34, 34, 5. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So let me tell you something. You will know them, and when Jesus comes, it will not be a surprise for you. But Jesus is not merely talking about his second coming here. He's talking about the close of probation. That will be a surprise for everybody. Because the second coming of Christ, everything will be in play. We will see everything before our own eyes. We will see persecution. We will see Sunday law. We know that Jesus is coming soon. But when it comes to the close of probation, none will know it. We will be sleeping. And I'm telling you, as many of you may know it, the close of probation will be made or done in the final test. The final test being Sunday law. All right. Now, verses 19 to 21. There are warnings. 19 to 21. There are warnings. It says, and woe, okay, we did it already. We don't want to go back to it. Verses 45 to 41, warning and promises. 45 to 51, it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Give them meat, is it mean, meat? The same as flesh here. Meat is not meat. Meat here is referring to what? The word of God. You need to feed the people of God in due season. Are you following me? Okay, that means in our time, the message that should be preached is a message for our time, not a message for past time or time past. We should be preaching messages like, if you were to buy mangoes, would you buy it? We have a lot of mangoes in winter, but winter is not the time to eat mangoes. Winter is not a time, a period to eat oranges, because they're not for the time. They for summer. Each season has its own kind of fruit. So let's go down. verses 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So when the time of probation is being closer and closer to end, God wants to see you and me preaching the gospel, giving the true message over to the people. If the time of probation is closed without us preaching the gospel, we will not benefit of the blessing. And the blessing is none other than being sealed. We will not be sealed. We need to preach the gospel. And then, as we read it earlier in verse 24, and then Jesus will come. And then verse 47. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and what? Gnashing of teeth. Now, remember the parable of the 10 virgins. They were sleeping all. But 5 of them were wise. And 5 were not wise. We may be sleeping before the second coming. We don't do anything else. But we have in our jar or our lamp some oil, which represents what? The Holy Spirit. Okay. So, the second coming in the garden of his waiting people. Verses 30, 31. Those are signs. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sounds of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Well, let me talk just a little bit about 3 of these things. Just a little bit. I have much to say, but I don't want to keep you too long, unfortunately. 3 little things. The close of probation, as I was talking about it, the loud cry, and the impersonation of Jesus Christ. Let me inform you or recall you that those events will take place in the same small period. Jesus may not have listed the latter rain, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in the answer given to the disciples in Matthew 24, but it is implied in the loud cry message. There will be no loud cry without that outpouring. As Jesus will be about to finish his ministry in the most holy place, and that his children, sins blotted out from the book of sins, he will signify it by sending his Spirit upon them to enable them to preach the last message to the world in a loud cry. At the beginning of his ministry in the holy place, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit upon his disciples, waiting just for the promised blessing. In the first outpouring, read in Acts 22, verses 1 to 17, we see that Peter recognized its accomplishment. He said in verses 16, 17, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. We don't have much young people in our church, but we have old people in our church, And because we are old people, we can expect to have what? Visions. No, no, not visions. Dreams. So you will not be granted visions. Young people will have visions, but old people will have what? Dreams. God will give you dreams, but not otherwise. Would it be great to see our children? Would it be great to see our parents being blessed with such blessing, having dreams from the Lord, having visions from the Lord? I think so. The prophecy of Joel has a double fulfillment or application, the Pentecost and the latter rain. Revelation 18 verses 1 to 4 talks about the second outpouring, the latter rain and the loud cry, saying, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is falling, and is become the habitation of devils." How could it be possible that a church preaching Jesus Christ become what? Habitation of devils? So, when the Bible is talking about Babylon, Babylon is falling, talking about Catholic church and Protestant churches, they will fall. And one of the reasons, because they're not God church anymore, they devil's churches. Devil's churches. Habitation of devils. We are the habitation of God. Know we not that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? If we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so the other churches, according to this verse, is talking about them being the habitation of devils. That means they no longer churches of God, they are churches of the devils. That's why God asked them to come out of Babylon. And we're going to be preaching that. You know what is interesting in it? It is that now we kind of like afraid denouncing sin in Babylon, even in our church. When that time comes, we will have to do it anyway. And it will not be done in a time of peace like that, a time of liberty of conscience like now. It will be a time when you cannot preach. And you will have to preach under fierce persecution. And it says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." All nations, not just all nations in terms of people having a culture, a territory, a language, but nations symbolize as well churches. Right here it says that all nations, that means all churches, will drink of the wine of her fornication. The wine of the fornication of Babylon is the lie. The lies that the churches are preaching. People accept them. Let me go a little bit faster. But we know, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Okay, so because we have already received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God will enable his children to preach the loud cry. That's what I'm talking about. And that's also what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24, verse 14. The loud cry. And those who do not preach now may not be able to do it later when the Holy Spirit will be outpoured upon God's children. All right. Now, see what it says? "The living righteous will receive the seal of God prior to the close of probation. Later in this book, Shane form, before the work is closed, the work is closed up, and the sealing of God's people is finished, we shall receive the outpouring of the Spirit of God." And she continued, "Near the close of earth's harvest, a special bestowal of spiritual grace, is promised to prepare the church for the coming of the Son of Man. This outpouring of the Spirit is likened to the falling of the latter rain. In the meantime, let me recall you that not one of us will ever receive the seal of God while our characters have one spot or stain upon them. It is left with us to remedy to the defects of our characters, to cleanse the soul temple of every defilement. Then the latter rain will fall upon us as the early rain fell upon the disciples of the day of Pentecost. Now, Sister White says, servants of God with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration will hasten from place to proclaim the message from heaven by thousands of voices all over the earth. The warning will be given, miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and signs and wonders will follow the believers. I'm telling you, I'm sick. I've never told you my conditions, but I'm sick. And as I see things going, I say, probably God will not heal me until that time, when the time of miracles will be taking place to heal his children. And she said, Sister White, Satan also works with lying wonders, even bringing down fire from heaven in the sight of men. Many people believe that the power of an atomic bomb that the United States have is the same fire about which the Bible is talking. No, it is not so. We don't know exactly how it will come about, but there will be a fire coming from heaven from the devil to seduce as many as he can. Close of probation. The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes, for it is to be the great test for the people of God by which their eternal destiny will be decided. The general close of probation says, according to Sister White, when Jesus ceases to plead for men, the cases of all are forever decided. This is the time of reckoning with his servants. To those who have neglected the preparation of purity and holiness, which fits them to be waiting once to welcome their Lord, the sun sets in gloom and darkness and rises not again. Probation closes. Christ's intercession ceases in heaven. This time finally comes suddenly upon all. Probation closes. This time finally comes suddenly upon all. So when you don't know, probation will close upon you, like in the time of Noah, like in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Last thing, personification of Jesus Christ, or impersonation of Jesus Christ. Let me read. Fallen angels upon earth form confederations with evil men. In this age, Antichrist will appear as the true Christ. And then the law of God will be fully made void in the nations of our world. Rebellion against God's holy law will be fully ripe. But the true leader of all this rebellion is Satan, clothed as an angel of light. Satan sees that he is about to lose his case. He cannot sweep in the whole world. He makes one last desperate effort to overcome the faithful by deception. He does this impersonating Christ. He clothes himself with the garment of royalty, which have been accurately described in the vision of John. He has power to do this. He will appeal to his deluded followers, the Christian world, particularly America. Satan will come in America to seduce God's children. I don't know if he will come here in Elmira. But Jesus said he will be in the desert too. So we need to be careful about these things, particularly when CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, all of them are live, showing the devil coming, but it is Jesus for them. Jesus is coming, even the worldlings believe they're saved. But Satan does that to seduce you and me so that we would not be saved and get to hell, to the hell with him. There was one object before, he proclaims himself Christ. And he is believed to be Christ, a beautiful, majestic being clothed with majesty and with soft voice and pleasant words, with glory unsurpassed by anything the mortal eyes had yet beheld. Can you imagine that? A beautiful man, voice. Man, this cannot be otherwise than just Christ. Christ is here. Well, Satan knows that we've been praying for the second coming for a long time. He knows that. He said, okay, I heard their prayers. I'm going to impersonate Jesus Christ. I'm going to show myself in the cities. I'm going to show myself in everywhere so that they can believe that I am Christ. And the world goes after him. And some Seventh-day Adventists are wondering whether it is not really Christ. But we will fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus will give us a sign that this man is not me. Brothers and sisters, do you know the signs of the second coming? Have you read your Bible, Spirit of Prophecy? Are you getting ready for the second coming of Christ? If you do, stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Because nobody want to be surprised. Nobody want to be overlooked. Nobody want to have his sins still in the book of sin. We all want to be there. We all want to be ready for the second coming of Christ. We all want to know the signs, read the signs, and talk about the signs. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message, which is about the signs announcing the second coming of Christ. Many church members do not recognize them. And we know that it is extremely dangerous not to know them. Give us to read the Bible thoroughly so that the Holy Spirit can teach us the truth and that our lives can be ready for this coming. Forgive your church. Bless your church. Prepare your church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.